And let us turn in 1 Kings to chapter 15 as we continue in our study of 1 Kings. And as we kind of somewhat continue the falling away of both Judah and Israel, although we certainly have Asa in the middle of this chapter and as the larger part of this chapter as a good king of Judah, we are reminded of the brokenness of earthly rulers, and our yearning should be for the ruler of the universe and his perfection always. So let us hear together God's word, the 34 verses of 1 Kings chapter 15. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became a king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord God, his God, gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and by establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. So Abijam rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa his son reigned in his place. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. And he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. He also removed Maacah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. He also brought into the house of the Lord the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and gold that was left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimmon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Come and break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel, Beth-Maacah, and all Chinnereth, with all the land of Naphtali. Now it happened, when Baasha heard it, that he stopped building Ramah and remained in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building. And with them King Asa built Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. The rest of the acts of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. So Asa rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place. Now Nadab the son of Jeroboam became king over Israel in the second year of Asa king of Judah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha killed him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all Israel laid siege to Gibbethon. Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. And so it was, when he became king, that he killed all the house of Jeroboam. He did not leave to Jeroboam anyone that breathed until he had destroyed him, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he had sinned, and by which he had made Israel sin, because of his provocation with which he had provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over Israel in Tirzah and reigned 24 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this passage of God's word, we ought to ask, what's the difference here? Unfortunately, from a certain perspective, the book of the Kings does not give us as much information as we thankfully have in 2 Chronicles concerning what's all going on here. Because Abijam, or Abijah, by the way, did a lot of good. Asa did some good, but he spent a lot of time in fear and concern and followed man's ideas. And so as we look at this passage, and as we will spend some time jumping over to 2 Chronicles, we want to realize the difference is in their hearts. Good people, from a human perspective, can still be unbelievers. And people who have many failures can still be Christians. The difference is their belief in God. I do love, one thing that I very much love as we read through the book of the Kings is God gives us a clear standard. This king did evil in the sight of the Lord, and this is what that meant. And this king did good, and this is what that meant. The most important question about any one of us is, do we believe God? Do we trust in Jesus? And brothers and sisters, we all fail. And Asa certainly was not a shining example of a great king. And yet, what do we have? That amazing epitaph which God gives to him, that he did good in the sight of the Lord. And certainly we can see that from his reforms. And there is much more again on that in the book of Chronicles as well. But believers mess things up, and we have that right away reminded for us at the beginning of this chapter. Why did God not destroy Jerusalem under Abijam? For David's sake. But at the same time in which we're reminded of David's obedient heart to God, what's also right there? David's mess with Uriah. We're reminded, brothers and sisters, that even in those whom God loves, there is a mess, there is a failure. Even in David, the man whose heart was after the Lord entirely, he failed and he messed up the life of his family significantly, the life of Israel significantly, by his sin. And yet here, again, we have human beings. I love the Bible does not present for us history sanitized for our protection. Because Abijam trusted the Lord. He had the enemies in Israel come up against him. And he trusted the Lord, and God gave him the victory, and Jeroboam no longer was able to do battle decently after that. And yet, what do we have concerning Abijah? He did evil because his heart was not right with the Lord. So God saves his people living through the evil work of wicked rulers and through the failures of good ones as well. God saves his people through the evil works of wicked rulers and through the failures of good ones as well. And in verses 1 through 8, we look at the fact that God saves Judah for the sake of his good king. In verses 9 through 24, we see that a good king makes some very bad choices. In verses 25 through 34, we see that a judgment against Jeroboam continues. So God saves Judah for the sake of his good king. We have to be reminded that when we think of David, David points us forward to Christ. Christ does not have any failures by which we would be reminded here. Christ is the perfect Savior. And yet, David prefigures Christ in that fact. Because of what David did, God continued to keep his people alive. And because of what Christ has done, God has saved us and gives us not just life on this earth, but eternal life. We have Abijam became king over Judah. His mother's name was Maacah. Now Maacah was the daughter of, it says here, Abishalom. Shortened. You heard of this guy before, Absalom. My dad is peace, is what that means in Hebrew. And so he married Rehoboam's daughter, his sister, or perhaps half-sister, we're not certain. But Rehoboam, we can read about that in 2 Chronicles 11. But he walked in the sins of his father, in the sins of Rehoboam. God visits the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. That's from the second commandment. Parents, children often imitate our sins as parents. And we need as parents to be open that we have failings and sins and point that out to our children and point our children to God's standards. I'm not the standard. God is. And I fail. Man is not the standard. God is. And so Abijah continued in the sins of his father. His heart was not loyal to the Lord. But why, we ask, did God keep peace in Jerusalem? God is so gracious, and again, if you look at the history here, again and again and again, God says this. He keeps Jerusalem, he keeps Judah, not because of how good they were, but God keeps Judah and Jerusalem because of his promise to David, because God is faithful to himself, because of the King David, which of course points us forward to the King Jesus, to our true Savior. And of course, as we said, what is there in David but a reminder of brokenness too? And we need to be reminded that every one of us is broken. And so, as I said, as parents, we need to point our children to the standard, which is God, not ourselves. And there is nothing certain but death and judgment. So at the end of Abijah's reign, he dies and he's buried in the city of David. and Asa his son reigns in his place. Asa became king over Judah, and he reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father David. He did, of course, again, as Christians, we are reminded that this isn't because we're so good. Now, Asa did some very hard reforms. He banished the perverted persons from the land, the temple prostitutes, the male temple prostitutes. What horrific things. He did political reform. He removed his grandmother from being queen mother, Maacah, because she was worshiping images and made an obscene image of Asherah. And so Asa took it in his own hands to destroy that. He cut it down. He burned it. Notice when he makes that treaty, he sends his servants. But Asa does this himself, and we need to be reminded that there are times to overthrow idols and things that are so close to us that we get rid of them personally instead of delegating that out to someone else. And yet, we hear this a lot, by the way. The high places, verse 14, were not removed. Asa made official changes, but he was not able to change the heart of the people to follow and to worship God alone. But Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. And this is very interesting considering what we have for us when we read Chronicles. Second Chronicles tells us all about Asa. Asa initially had trust in God. We can read in 2 Chronicles 14. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots and came to Mareshah. Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zarephath at Mareshah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God, "Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go out against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and he carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures, and carried off sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Sorry, that was the end of that. But we have to realize, God had given victory. And yet, now Asa, as he gets older, has war. And Asa, instead of trusting in God, what did he do? He sends to Ben-Hadad, verse 18. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. And Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah so that nobody could be able to go in and out to shut up Judah from being able to do trade, to do all sorts of things. So where does Asa put his trust this time? We read it in verses 18 through 21. Asa took all the silver and gold that was in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and delivered them into the hands of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of, I'm not going to read that name all, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father." Asa's father was a great guy, right? Made treaties with Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. He attacked Now, God had said way back at the beginning not to fight with each other. And yet, what is there continually? War, fighting, battles. And so Asa was warned by God. If we jump over to 2 Chronicles 16. I thought I had put this in here, but apparently not. Just a couple of verses there. God had warned Asa to put his trust in him, not in this earthly king. So we read, "At that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done very foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars.' Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time." And we'll just continue reading there because there's more going on there. Asa continues to trust in man. As Asa got old, he was diseased in his feet. We read there in 2 Chronicles 16, "Note the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign." What does it say? He did not seek the Lord, but physicians. And I think that's a good reminder for all of us. It's so easy to trust in physicians. And certainly, we thank the Lord for the abilities which we have in modern medicine. But brothers and sisters, our trust in the midst of using this stuff is still must always be in God. God is the one who uses this stuff. It is not about the modern medicine, first of all. There is an awful lot of people that put their trust in modern medicine. Our trust must, first of all, be in Almighty God. And the judgment against Jeroboam continues. So, we change scene a little bit here. And we jump over to Israel. And Nadab, Jeroboam's son, reigns as king. And he reigned from the second year of Asa, king of Judah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And what happens? Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, verse 27. And Baasha killed him at Gibbethon. When Baasha was trying to do battle to lay siege against the Philistines at Gibbethon, Baasha killed him. And he reigned in his place. A coup. And so it was that when he became king, what did he do? He killed all the house of Jeroboam. Now it's an interesting thing. God had said that the house of Jeroboam would die. But again, at the other hand, God also judged many of these houses because they came in and they killed all of their opponents, all of those who were from the previous king. And from an earthly perspective, that's somewhat wise. But as a Christian, there's a very different thing going on here. We can trust in God, that God will bring about the judgment. Think of David and Saul. David did not have to kill Saul, even though Saul had tried to kill David numerous times. And so Baasha begins his reign in Israel with a lot of murder. And he continued then to do evil in the sight of the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we live in a world in which there are good rulers and there are wicked rulers. And we get uptight because of politics. But brothers and sisters, most important for any human being, from the lowest person to the president to kings, all of these different things, to the queen that just passed away in England, is, are they right with God? And we all make failures, don't we? We need to realize that none of us is perfect. And so, our hope in all of this, and going back to what we heard as we talked about prayer, our confidence is not, I'm worthy. Because I'm not worthy. None of us is. Our confidence is in our great and awesome God, who can do marvelous things. Look at what we talked about with the Ethiopians. If you read a few chapters back in 1st or 2nd Chronicles, what God did between Ahijam and the Israelites and Jeroboam. God is the one who gives the victory, not our abilities, not our right armies, our tanks, our this, our that. That doesn't win the victory. God does. And so as we live in this world, we need to be reminded again and again and again. Good rulers come and go. Wicked rulers come and go. Their final status is before Almighty God. Did they believe or do they not believe? Good rulers make a lot of problems. Bad rulers sometimes do the right thing. And yet what we have before God is most important, that we have in Jesus Christ, the final and true ruler of the universe. And we anticipate His return so that all of this brokenness can be turned right. And we look forward to eternal life because of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we need to be reminded that good people, believers, are not perfect and make a lot of problems and have a lot of failures. And we thank You as well for Your grace that bad, wicked people are not as bad as they possibly could be. We praise You, Lord, that we can live in the midst of this, trusting in You, hoping in You. And we pray, Lord, for those who rule over us. We pray for those who know You, that You would give them confidence to stand up in the midst of the brokenness of our culture. We pray, Lord, use us to stand up in the midst of the brokenness of our culture, that we would not rely only on others. And we pray, Lord, for those who will not, who don't know You. We pray, Lord, that You would change their hearts. We pray that truth would go forth. We pray, Lord, that they would see their need of a Savior. And at that same time, Lord, we pray for those who will not turn. And we pray, Lord, that You would stop them. That You would provide righteous rulers for our nation. And that wickedness would be cast down, would be overthrown. We pray, Lord, knowing that You are able to do it. Use us to that end. Do not let us think that we can sit on our own here and not be involved. And yet it is not our power. It is the power of Almighty God. We pray, Lord, that You would bless us above all. We pray for ourselves that we would truly trust in Jesus Christ. Our hope would be in Him alone. Not in political rulers, not in the things of this earth, but indeed in our gracious Savior, who is our true Lord and King. For we pray these things in His name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.